Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And Rodrigo's back.
Rodrigo is back after watching, or you went to the concert of Maluma, if I'm not mistaken, and we actually had Finister from his podcast that I butchered big time, that is the Houston Dynapod. I always want to say Houston Dynamo, but Houston Dynapod podcast joined me a couple weeks ago. I think it was a great show. We actually got a bunch of listens out of that. So thank you, Finister, for being a part of it and subbing in for Rodrigo. And I think it's been about 2 weeks since that happened. So CONCACAF has been kind of not a lot going on, except for the only thing that we definitely missed was the Champions League final. Monterrey playing against America, and Monterrey was victorious 1-0, but it was definitely had some a PK that should have been called for America that didn't get called, so a little bit of controversy. But at the end of the day, Monterrey got another Champions League title to them, and you know, it's one of those that I think America has the most. So, you know, everybody's trying to get to America. So, Rodrigo, I mean, before we continue talking about Champions League and CONCACAF soccer, how you been, man? 2 weeks since we haven't recorded. I hope you enjoyed and you danced your little soul away at Maluma's concert. Hopefully you didn't catch, like, his sweat or something.
Nah, yeah, it's been good. I don't know. It's been 2-3 weeks. It seems like a long time. But yeah, I think that's the last thing we talked about. It was fun, honestly. We were sitting like, what do you call it? Courtside almost. front stage. So we were pretty close. My wife was pretty excited to see him up that close. I mean, it was good atmosphere, good music. It was fun. But yeah, and then I'm not sure if I told you, but I ended up going to Tampa Bay during the week, just business trip. And I got to watch a hockey game, the Tampa Bay Lightning, which apparently, you know, they won back-to-back championships recently. It was fun, man. We're literally sitting like that. We're like literally glass side, like right behind what they call the penalty box. Great seats, you know, courtesy of my boss. And we have fun. But yeah, and then what, last week we went down to Houston. I got to see you guys for a friend's wedding. Oh man, that got out of hand. I know you guys left early, but it was a fun night.
Well, I saw a few videos. It looked like y'all were pretty much hammered. So it was, I mean, you'd let loose for sure, man. But hey, you know, I've never been to a hockey game. I got pretty close to going one time when I went with my wife to Nashville. We saw a ton of people going towards the, I guess there's a Sabertooth, I think. No, the Predators, but the mascot is a Sabertooth tiger. But anyways, so there I saw the atmosphere look pretty tight. And then one time in Vegas, I was actually supposed to go see the Golden Knights. That didn't happen, but there's definitely something on my bucket list to go see a hockey game. I feel like that's probably as close to soccer atmosphere-wise, I think. Just because there's some crazy fans, depending, you know, who the team is. But yeah, the Lightning definitely have won a couple Stanley Cups, which is kind of interesting for sure. Who were they playing, out of curiosity?
They were playing the Florida Panthers, so
they kind of suck.
No, they were at least when we won, they were still doing well. They actually lost against them. I think the score ended up being 3-1. Okay. But yeah, it's interesting to watch that sport. And I mean, yeah, the atmosphere was crazy. It was, you know, completely packed. And they have like a good little intro music. It's almost like if you're watching like, I don't know, like a show / movie to get into it. They have this whole nice little video, the atmosphere around. They have this like the Teslas, you know, creating electricity. Pretty cool. And then, I mean, if you ever want to catch a hockey game, you know, we have the Dallas Stars. I haven't been. We're supposed to go, I think, on sometime in December for like our holiday company party or something like that. But yeah, we'll see how the atmosphere is there.
It'd be hard for me to go to see Dallas unless they're playing Houston and we don't have a team. But anyways, well, we had the Arrows or you? Yeah, Arrows.
Like a semi-pro team.
Yeah, back in the day. So they've been talking about bringing an NHL team for a long time to Houston. But I guess moving back to the Champions League real quick, I just want to go through just the overall aspect of it, how the only goal came from Rogelio Funes Mori in the 9th minute, that it ended up being the winner for Monterrey, and they were playing at home, which to me, you know, Javier Aguirre, their coach, was one of my favorites for a long time till he kicked the player here in Houston. Were you there when that happened? I don't remember. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, it was against Panama. He tripped him up and started a whole brawl.
And he's a good coach. Obviously, he has a little bit. Well, not a little bit. He has
anger issues.
Definitely anger issues. I mean, the dude is like 62 years old. He may have chilled by now, but he did get to coach a few European teams from Osasuna, Atletico Madrid, Zaragoza, Espanyol. He was even
the national teams.
Right. I was going to say he was a Japan's coach, Egypt's coach. Obviously Mexico, there's a ton of, like, he has such a good experience. I wish we would have seen him win more titles, because that's something definitely that he lacks a bit. But the dude is very talented. I am to talk good about the other manager. I'm a big Esteban Solari fan as well. I mean, the guy is, you know, all you want from a coach, you know, very, Santiago, I don't know why I say Esteban. Santiago Solari, he's a very good coach, obviously known for his time in Real Madrid. But the Argentinian has a potential to be one of the best coaches. Obviously, he was Real Madrid's coach for a little bit before Zinedine came back and took over. But anything you want to add about this? I mean, again, there's two teams that I, to be fair and to be honest, I do not care for either of them. So I didn't even watch the match live. I just kind of kept up with highlights just highlights basically. And even after the match. But Rodrigo, anything you want to add on that?
Same thing like what you just mentioned. It's kind of picking the lesser of two evils. I prefer Monterrey to win over America just because, you know, how many titles they have and big rivals against Chivas. But yeah, I just watched a couple of highlights. I mean, it's one of those things that you want to watch it, but you don't because it's not your team playing, but it's still, you know, a good, you know, competition final. So I mostly just watched the highlights. I saw that Ochoa actually had a couple of good saves there. I mean, he's been playing, you know, outstanding for America recently. I'm sure he's getting ready to retire in the next couple of years or so. Probably after the World Cup or, you know, but he's still been playing at the top level. I hate to say it, but America does have a good squad. And Monterrey, like you mentioned, I saw that polemic about the penalty. Was it, you know, at the same time, I mean, it's one of those things that you're always going to wonder, like, oh, maybe if it was a penalty, could he have scored it? You know, there's always a possibility they missed it and the score remains the same. So it doesn't really affect the game. But yeah, I mean, Monterrey has been doing well over the years, and we're gonna see them back in the World Club Cup, which it should be coming up. I don't know how they're gonna fit it in with all the international stuff, but unless they do it back in February again, since the World Cup will be,
yeah, they may have to push it. You're right,
or push it to the summer. I don't know how they're gonna work that out. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that just brings us over to the next topic. World Cup qualifiers. As everybody knows, we have the World Cup in December this time around. So it's going to be pretty interesting how they're going to move some tournaments around. I guess we'll have leagues being played during the summer to at least have something and then have that 2 months space for the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do some shuffling. From what I see here, it looks like late 2021. But it really looked too early 2022. So I'm sure the World Cup, yeah, The FIFA Club World Cup will be played in 2022. That's what it's looking like. So you're right. It'll probably be early or maybe February or March or something like that. But going back to the World Cup qualifiers for CONCACAF, exciting for sure, because we're close to seeing what should be a very good matchup, especially being Mexico against the U.S. You know, obviously the giants of CONCACAF, and there's two matchups for each team. Oh, man. I'm trying to burp, but it's not coming out. Disgusting. Anyways, so, you know, you have Mexico against the U.S., big matches, and then Mexico playing Canada, obviously big matches. But before I keep going with some of the matches that we'll see, I want to go real quick through the standings. In first place, we have Mexico with 14 points. The U.S. with 11 first in second place. Third place, Canada with 10. Panama in fourth place with 8. Costa Rica with 6 and sits on the fifth place. Jamaica did a little bit of a jump, actually, after a good showing the last phase or of matches. And they're in sixth place with 5 points. El Salvador with 5. And Honduras sitting with 3 points, dead last. Honduras has been struggling for sure, to the point that they fire their coach in the middle of this phase for qualifiers, which is kind of incredible after such a good run they've been having. And obviously they fell short for the 2018 World Cup. But we will have plenty of time to record a show before the matches, so we can break them down even more, the show beforehand. But I did wanted to add that, you know, I don't know about you, Rodrigo, but Mexico, U.S., you know, no matter what, it's going to be a, you know, a match that everybody wants to see. And this match is going to be played in Cincinnati, I believe. So the U.S. playing at home, full stadium, full capacity. It should be a good one, right? First place against second place. The U.S. gets all 3 points. They jump. They would technically jump to first place, at least for the time being. And Mexico could easily push themselves even higher up the table, or more like become the juggernaut of the table, just because nobody would be close enough. But Rodrigo, do you want to add anything quickly about that matchup?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. People keep up, you know, with the Mexico team. They did have a friendly against Ecuador recently, which they ended up losing 3-2. Obviously, you know, Mexico just took a what would you even call that, like a C team?
CD, maybe CB
actually, because there's a couple of players that have been playing. But yeah, overall, you know, it was just, I don't even know why they had a friendly. Like, I feel like, you know, the qualifiers is good enough just because they've been so close together and everybody's playing their leagues. I think a friendly was kind of pointless because it's not like you can really bring players or try to showcase more at this point. I feel like most squads already adjusted to what their team is and hoping for the best on those. But yeah, on the U.S. side, you know, I think Pulisic is back training and playing with Chelsea. But man, this guy is just unbelievable with his injuries. Or whatever reason he's out. I believe Sergiño Dest is going to be out as well. And on the other side, Raul Jimenez has been playing amazing. I watched a couple games with him. Wolverhampton against Everton. And, you know, he's been playing really well. Or actually, was that Everton? I don't know. It was somebody else. But, yeah, he looks good. He doesn't seem that afraid to hit the ball. He had a couple. You know, Chucky Lozano has been playing well. I believe he scored today in his Europa League. So, you know, it's just players that we've been keeping up with. And it's pretty looking pretty good for them. And I think one little, I guess, touchy subject for people, I guess McKinney has not been doing well with Juve. I've been seeing a lot of hate messages for him. So I don't know what's going on with him, but this U.S. team starting, you know, injuries, personalities, things like that. It looks like maybe it's starting to fall apart for them midway through this qualifier. So they're not on the best ground right now. But, yeah, it should be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much narrative for sure for both teams as they come into this huge clash. And I guess I'll just time for time's sake, I do want to give a little segue to this match period, because there's the Houston Dynamo just recently signed a new general manager, Pat Onstad, which is a Dynamo legend. But a lot of the members got invited to a press conference that he's going to have at Pitch 25, the local, bar/restaurant owned by Brian Ching, to watch this match. So he's going to have the press conference, and you can stay to watch the US-Mexico, which I know would be a lot of fun. I'd be cool to go. I'm not sure if I'll be able to go just because of the distance. But I'd be so interested to see like a press conference, especially like, you know, Rodrigo, everything that's been going on lately with the Dynamo. Obviously, this season was a terrible season, you know, again, ending in last place of the conference. They signed a new owner. Ted Siegel signed Pat Onstad. And then just today, they've let go of Todd Ramos, which not surprising at all. Like you mentioned, old news, right? I think we all kind of saw it coming, just the way it was going. Todd Ramos, class act for sure. But to me, results show and are the telling point, right? If you don't have enough points and your team is not doing well tactically, then heads will always roll. So exciting times for sure, because I think it's going to be a fresh start. And I expect a lot of good things to happen this offseason for the Dynamo. Rodrigo, I know it's coming up soon. We probably won't touch much of the Dynamo since we're in the works of with Christian to doing some exciting stuff for next season. But Rodrigo, what do you think about the home team, man? You know, what do you see, or what do you expect to see with all the stuff Ted Siegel has talked about, you know, spending money, not just necessarily on the squad itself, but all over the field and the front office, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody expects a lot from him. You know, main thing is going to be spending money. Who are you willing to get? And I'm not just talking about a bunch of different players. It has to be like a couple key players they're going to make sense to the squad, and it's actually going to bring, you know, fans to the stadium more than anything. But also a good result for the team. I mean, as far as goes with Tab, we knew he was going to be gone. I mean, he knew he was going to be gone. That interview he had with Glenn Davis, he hit on every point that everybody had always basically brought up, but he brought it up as like just casual, like him talking about Alejandro Funamayor. He's like, yeah, he does well, but not what I like, dude, like, what do you, what do you expect? Of course, he's not going to be happy not playing, but you just because you, I don't know, it's one of those things like, oh, yeah, he does well in training, but I don't feel like in game time he's the right person. Like, that makes no sense. Like, if a player is doing well in training, I think you should play him. Same thing with Quintero, him, you know, mentioning like, well, yeah, I mean, he did well now, but like early in the season, I didn't think he was the right guy. I'm like, dude, it's a key player that he needs to be starting in. And when he would put him as like a winger or like striker, for me, that was kind of like a pointless position because he distributes the ball very well. And when he started to put him as a center attacking mid or almost like a false nine, I mean, that's when you really see the opening and the creation and everything he can give you. And I mean, he ended up having a couple of team of the week and player of the matches. And, you know, I mean, he's playing very well, but at the same time, you know, the season was over at that point. I just want, you know, Pat to actually bring somebody that's actually like a good coach is going to bring the team together and give us more options.
Yeah, you're right. It was that last interview is like the nail in the coffin. Everything that he said, you know, Tab Ramos, like person, like as a person, and he just seems like such a great guy in the sense of like he's very open, communication is very well. Yet at the same time, it was like time after time, he would just contradict himself, right? Like, he would be like, I'll play the young guys. And then you look at the squad and it's full of old guys. Like, I think we fielded an average of, like, I think 29 or 30 year old average. Like, we never really got any younger till almost the end. And even then, it was too late. He was not going to save his job. And I think it was the right thing to do, right? You bring in Pad on Monday and you get rid of Ramos on a Thursday. You know, as soon as the season's over, it's you don't want to keep prolonging it. You why waste, you know, till December 31st when the guy's contract is over and say we're not extending it? Do it now so that way you're able to find a coach that will restart the cycle. I think Pat will end up finding someone down like a good coaching tree that has, you know, maybe an assistant or an assistant to the assistant type of thing. But I think, you know, having that MLS experience coaching wise will definitely help. So, you know, who knows, maybe he brings, you know, obviously he just came from Columbus and Columbus won a title last year. So he may end up picking from that coaching tree, right? Maybe getting Caleb Porter's assistant or, you know, someone under the trees that Caleb Porter came from, or Siggy. I think a bunch of them are from like Siggy's, what's his name? Siggy Schmidt, really good coach that brought in a lot of talent or, you know, coaching staff. So you never know. I think that's a way to go. You have so much opportunity here in Houston, and I feel like it's just kind of, you know, rotting and wasting when there's so much potential. So to me, it sucks that we finished last again. It sucks that we didn't make the playoffs. I wanted them obviously to do good. But this is a hard reset button that Ted Siegel has to implement, right? Because, you know, even in the beginning when he came in, he mentioned how Tab Ramos was one of his favorite players growing up. You know, I mean, you understand that at the end of the day it's business for them, and he is actually willing to invest and get the team better as well, because at the end of the day it only hurts his pockets, right? I mean, you wasted so much money on buying the club, you'd still need to invest a little bit more to get it where you need to go. But at the end of the day, a sports team usually makes you money. And as the fourth biggest city in the U.S., dude, take advantage of it. But Rodrigo, anything you want to add about the team? No? You're good?
I just have high hopes for next season, and hopefully we won't be disappointed.
Yeah, and so for next season, when you come back in town, I move my seats to the supporter section. So we got two seats in the supporter section. I'm not sure exactly if we'll rep anybody in particular, whether, you know, a specific supporter group. I'm sure they'll receive us with arms wide open, man. I think they definitely need more people out there chanting and just giving the team, you know, more love and as they play. And also the cool thing is, literally the last home game, I was able to be a part of the media due to the Dynamo Theory. And again, we have big plans with Dynamo Theory. Maybe Rodrigo, you'd be a part of that too, if you want to. You know, we keep articles. I love Dynamo Theory because it's a fan driven, you know, group that it's fans for the fans, right? Like everything's created fans for the fans. And I think nobody is more honest than the fans of a club than somebody that's getting paid to say what the club wants you to say type of thing. So anyways, so that was a quick plug for dynamotheory.com. Go check it out. Make sure you follow them on Twitter as well as Crossing Soccer Borders. We'll still be here for sure. There's a lot of international soccer that we'll continue to talk about and completely focused on CONCACAF. So we may not jump too much into the MLS or other teams like in general or specifically, but yeah, man, we're excited to see more matches coming through. So with that, keep crossing soccer borders.